The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
So we're in a series right now called Build Your Kingdom Here. And as I wrestled over what message to preach today, I just felt like this was still the appropriate message. Today we're going to continue to look at the characteristics of a disciple. And our starting point has been this. We really started in January. We said this is our all-in year, and we have a theme verse, and we're going to say that in just a moment, because we believe that disciples are all-in. Jesus was asked this question, of all of the commandments, which is the most important? And his response is our theme verse. It's Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Why don't you say it with me out loud? And if you're new, we emphasize the all here, okay? We just started doing that because that's our word this year. So let's say it together on the count of three. One, two, three. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. A disciple is all in. This last few weeks, we've looked at some characteristics of a disciple. I just want to remind you of them as we're nearing the end of this series. We started out by saying a disciple is passionately committed to Jesus. We've seen some passion in our world this week. A disciple is passionately committed to Jesus. A disciple has extravagant love for others. A disciple has the heart of a servant. A disciple is just and generous. A disciple is sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit. What a cool moment, right? As our worship ended, and Pastor Jace, I love how we just paused, right? Like to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. For many of you, that was the moment you needed today, was hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. A disciple is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. A disciple lives morally pure. Maybe not a popular message, but a much needed and biblical message, right? A disciple lives in purity. A disciple is governed by the authority of God's word. And then last week we talked about this. A disciple engages in biblical community. And what a great time to be engaged in biblical community. Community, right? This is when you find out who your true friends are, right? Who you're really connected with. So today, we're going to talk about another characteristic of a disciple, and it's this. A disciple lives on purpose. A disciple lives on purpose. The average life expectancy in the U.S. right now is 78 years old. Depending on your current age, that might be really exciting because it's a long ways away, or it might be really depressing because you're already really close to that. I don't know, right? Men, I have bad news for you, because for you, it's actually a couple years lower. It's at 76, and women, it's at 81. You must live healthier than us, I guess. But here's the point is, whether you live to 76 or 81 or 101, life is really short. You know, when you're young, you think life is long, and when you're old, you realize it's short, right? Life is short. James says this in James 4:14, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Isn't this what we've seen unfold in our society this week? One moment, Americans are invincible, right? One moment, we have enough toilet paper, right? One moment, our pantries are full. One moment, our bank accounts look good. Our 401ks are healthy. You know, don't log in right now, by the way. That'll be depressing. By the way, I'll share this advice with you. Dave Ramsey says that the only way you get hurt on a roller coaster is if you jump off, okay? Don't jump off right now, all right? Ride those waves up and down. Just ride it out because we're going to be all right. We trust in the Lord. It's going to be all right. But right now, I mean, this is what's happened this week. Is one moment everything seemed to be okay. And then one person in New Mexico got the coronavirus. You know, I thought it was funny because there was a little while there where I thought maybe it's going to skip New Mexico. Maybe we put enough Chick-fil-A sauce over the doors, you know? I saw another funny meme because Colorado had it, but New Mexico didn't. And you remember earlier, you know, where Colorado thought they had awesome green chili? And so I saw a bunch of people on Facebook like, yeah, see, Colorado green chili's inferior because you got coronavirus. Well, I don't know what to say now, but one moment everything's okay, and now we're living in panic and fear, and what's going to happen? Here's what it's really emphasized, is that life is short. Life is fragile. Life changes quickly. Life is valuable. This is what James is saying in James 4. He uses this illustration. He says, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I found myself this morning contemplating this verse. And so I found a spray bottle and I just, I don't know if you can see this very well, but I just kind of have stood in my living room for a little while thinking about how quickly my life will disappear. Kind of depressing, honestly. Here's what I want you to know today. Life is too short to not live it on purpose. It's just too short. You don't want to just exist in this life. You want to live on purpose. Now, you may know this about me, but my wife, Lisa, and I are foodies. Do I have any other foodies in the place? If you don't know what that is, you're not one, okay? Foodies, okay, some people eat to live. Foodies live to eat, okay? Here's our motto, never waste a meal. Okay? That's just how we live. Like, I would rather skip a meal than eat an inferior meal. That's just kind of how we are, right? I don't ever want to wait. In fact, I get really upset when I waste a meal. When I order something and I have high hopes for it and then it doesn't deliver, I'm like, oh, I wasted that. I hate wasting meals. You know what I hate more than wasting meals? I hate wasting days. I hate wasting days. Life is too short to waste days. Can I just tell you something I've observed as a pastor? I've seen a lot of people waste days. In fact, I've seen a lot of people waste months. I've even seen some people waste years. It's like you just get stuck. You get stuck in a fence. And you never move on. You get stuck in unforgiveness and you never move on. You get stuck in a dead-end job and you never move on. I've seen people get stuck. I've come today to ask you, don't get stuck. Don't just exist. Do you remember the passion that you began this relationship with Christ with? I've told this story, but I remember as a kid in kids' church, my kids' pastor preached a message. I don't remember the message, but I remember he used an illustration from the game Hot Potato. And I remember, and it sounds really silly for me to tell you this, but I remember because there was so much passion in my young little heart that I literally ran to the altar when I was given the chance. And I ran to the altar and I threw my hands in the air. And this was my prayer. Don't laugh at me, but I prayed, God, I want to be a hot potato. I don't even know what that means, right? I mean, that's just the passion in my heart. It was like, I want to go all in. Do some of you remember? I mean, hopefully some of you are still there. Here's what I've seen is often we begin this journey with Jesus and there's so much passion in our hearts, but then we find ourselves just kind of on cruise control. You know, life gets in the way. Not just coronavirus. Like, you get a job, and you buy a house, and you buy some cars, and now you got to pay insurance, and then you got to put a tire on, and now you got to work a little more to take care of that, and then your kids start growing up, right? By the way, this is your one warning. Mercy is starting to drive, okay? Oh, my goodness. Yesterday, my wife sent her to the grocery store. She drove herself to the grocery store. Like, if you think coronavirus is scary, this is way scarier. Like, we're not even worried. We're like, we're done with coronavirus. We're like, our daughter is driving, right? This is what happens. Life happens. Things grow and all of a sudden, you just find yourself busy, 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 busy doing the stuff of life. And you wake up one day and it's like, where is the passion that I began my relationship with Jesus with? Several years ago, I started doing some triathlons. Triathlons, you do three events in a row. You swim, you bike, and then you run. And the hardest one for me is swimming. I'm not joking when I say this. My wife literally floats. I mean, she almost comes out of the water. She's so buoyant. And she laughs at me because I sink. And I'm not joking. Like, if I try to lay on my back, my feet sink, and then everything just starts. I mean, I'm not built to float. Okay, I don't know what. So I had to work hard to learn kind of some technique, how to swim, how to be efficient. And so when I started in triathlons, the shorter ones you do in a pool, and man, swimming in a pool is awesome because the water is clear and they have a line, you know, in the lane, so you know you're going in a straight line. You know, it's real easy. And so I did a couple triathlons, and then I decided I want to do a little bit longer triathlon. Well, to do a longer one, you have to do an open water swim. So for those of you from New Mexico, there are places where there's bodies of water, okay, that are big enough that you can swim in them. It's kind of weird, right? So I remember my first open water swim. A couple hundred of us gathered on the beach of this lake, and they blow the horn, and we all go running. You run as fast as you can because you want to get to the water first, and you get in the water and you just start swimming because you want to kind of get ahead. And the best way I can describe it, I think it would be like trying to swim in a washing machine, okay? I mean, the water's churning, and you're getting kicked in the face. I had a lady swim right over me. I had another guy just like, I'm going this way, and he's coming this way. He T-boned me. I mean, I'm like, where are you going, man? I mean, it's chaos, okay? And you get going, and what they do is they'll put a buoy out, you know, a few hundred yards out, and then they'll put another buoy. So often it's like a kind of a triangle. You swim to a buoy, to another buoy, and back where you started. And so I get out there, and it's my first, you know, real open water swim, and I start swimming, and I'm looking for the line on the bottom of the lake to show me where to go, and there's not one. Or if there was, I couldn't see it, right? The water's dirty, it's deep, there's waves, right? Here's what I learned that day. I started swimming toward the buoy, and then I put all this work in, right? And for me, swimming is hard, so I was working, you know, harder than most of the people around me. And I'm just working, and I'm working, and I'm working, and I'm supposed to go to that buoy, and I'm working, and I'm working, and I look up, and I don't even see the buoy. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I learned a couple of things while I was doing open water triathlons. I learned that you can lose sight of the goal really easy. You see, I started going towards the buoy. Every intention was to get to that buoy. I was working hard to get to that buoy, and I learned that it was really easy to lose sight. I learned that it was easy to get distracted. One of the things I would do is I would play these little mind games to distract myself from the pain that my body was feeling. And I found that my mind games, they distracted me from the pain. They also distracted me from the buoy that I was supposed to go to. You know, I'm counting things in my head. I'm saying memory verses in my head. I'm saying mantras in my head. I'm trying. And then I'm like, but I got off course. Here's what I also found. I found out how easy it is to go where everyone else is going. It was interesting because I'd start swimming and I'd have a few people on my left and a few people on my right, a few people behind me, a few people ahead of me, kind of in a pod, right? And because of the group, I felt safe because obviously we're all going to the same place. And then eventually I would look up and I would realize that we were all going in the wrong direction. I just found out some things. And here's, I'll boil it down. Here's kind of a philosophy that I've adapted from these learnings. It's this, is that drift happens naturally and quickly. Drift. It's the opposite of living a purposeful life. If you're not very intentionally bringing your head up every now and then to look at the buoy, if you're not, you can't gauge it on what everyone else is doing. If you're not looking for yourself, what will happen is you will naturally begin to drift and you will quickly begin to drift. I mean, you look up and you're headed towards the buoy and then you look up and you're a half mile off course. I mean, it happens so easily. You're not going to live on purpose by accident. This is what I'm trying to help you with. Some of you, it's not about hard work. You're working hard right now, right? You're expending energy. You're putting in the hours. You're working hard. But my question is this. It's not about how hard you're working. It's, are you living on purpose? If you're not living on purpose, you will naturally and quickly drift. You'll drift towards what's easy. You'll drift towards what's popular. You'll drift towards sometimes what others want you to do. You're a people pleaser. And so you'll drift towards what someone else is prescribing for your life. And so I've come to ask you to live on purpose. Here's the question we have to ask ourselves. What is God's calling on my life? I'm not really talking about your job. I'm talking about your purpose. You know that you can live out the purpose of God in any industry? Do you know that? You can live out the purpose of God in any role, right? You could be the bottom of the starter employees, or you can be the owner of the company or somewhere in between, and you can still live out the purposes of God. The question is not what job am I supposed to do, but what is my calling? 1 Peter 2:9 says this. I'll read it to you, but I want you to hear it as if God is speaking to you today. You, fill your name in, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Can I just tell you that I believe God has a plan for you? I'll tell you a quick story. We really agonized over whether or not we should open our doors today or not. We agonized between keeping people safe and wanting to gather with you and the suggestions of our governmental leaders, and we just really struggled. And finally, I didn't even make the decision till like 5 o'clock on Friday, and even afterwards, I went back and forth and I struggled, and I don't know if we should do it. And I'll just tell you this story because it's just so amazing, because we opened our doors and of course you're at the second service of the day, and I looked up after, or in the middle of the first service, and there was a guest who was here, and I looked up after the service and he was still here, and one of our guys had went over to talk to him, and I went over to meet this new friend, and I began to hear this guy's story, and it was such a cool story. This part is not cool, but you got to know it, is that everything in this guy's life has fallen apart. And he wakes up this morning and he's driving down Montaño, and he looks over and he sees a church. He's never been here. He doesn't know anyone. He sees cars in the parking lot. He literally does a U-turn and comes back, and he's in our first service. And I said, dude, listen to me. I don't even care who shows up today. You need to know this. We weren't even going to open, and the Holy Spirit told me to open, and I think that it was for you. I think this whole thing was just for you. What's God's call for my life? Here's some questions to help you. What do my dreams and desires drift towards? What motivates me to action? What do I crave? What burdens me? These are just questions that help you. Here's what I know. There's a purpose of God for your life. It is unique to your life. Married couples, here's what's amazing. There's a purpose on your life. There's a purpose on your spouse's life. And there is a unique purpose that happens when the two come together. There's now a new purpose, a unique purpose, that's a combination of your purpose and your spouse's purpose. That's why two are better than one. It makes you more powerful. I'm just telling you, there's a unique purpose on your life. I'm asking you, don't just exist. Don't just work. Don't just have a job. Live out your purpose. Throughout the series, we've tried to look at the difference of a believer to a disciple. I'll say it this way. Believers work. Disciples work for the Lord. See, it's different. It's not just a job. Whatever job you're in, you understand, I'm doing this unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. There it is again. All. Work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. You see, believers do what they want. Disciples do what God wants. Believers think they can just decide, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to go here, I want to go there. And disciples say, I'm sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit. I want to go where he tells me to go. I don't get to make my own decisions. I'm a living sacrifice to God. I'm going to work wherever I work unto the Lord. So to live with purpose, you need to get a vision for your life. That's what I'm hoping for you today, is that you get a vision for your life today. Do you remember, some of you will have to think further back than others, but do you remember when you were young and people would often ask you, what do you want to do when you grow up? Anyone remember being asked that question? Or maybe right now, some of you, I just asked one of our young men, he's graduating high school. I said, what's next, right? It's the common question, right? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? What's God calling you to do? Well, lately I've been listening to a podcast with my girl on the way to school. We got about a 15-minute drive, so we started listening to a podcast called Borrowed Future. It's about a going to college debt-free, which, man, what a phenomenon that would be, right? And so our oldest is a sophomore, so we've got about 2.5 years, and so I thought, well, we'll start talking to her, and then, you know, my sixth grader's in the car, and our fifth grader's in the car, so we're just kind of all talking, and I said, if you hear something, just tell me. If you don't understand, I'll pause it and we'll talk about it, right? And so, I mean, these podcasts are taking forever to get through because we keep pausing it, you know, and my girls are learning about, you know, student loans and interest rates and deferral and payment plan. And I mean, they're hearing all these concepts. And so we keep pausing it, talk about it, pausing it, talk about it, pause. And so in that, a natural conversation is, you know, girls, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to be? You know, and so we're starting to have just some really fun conversations. But the other day I realized, I think I was maybe unintentionally putting some pressure on them. Like, hurry up and decide, right? Figure it out so we can make a plan. We got to, you know, figure out how much this is going to cost and where you're going to go and how we're going to do it. And so we got away for about 2 days over our spring break, and I pulled them in to the room, and I said, girls, come here, I just want to talk to you for a minute. I said, I know we've been talking about what you're going to do when you grow up and where you're going to go to college. And I just want you to know this. I want you to know that Mom and I don't really care what job you do. What's most important to us is that you're living out the purpose of God. I said, listen, girls, you can live out the purpose in any job, in any role. You can do it with a degree. You can do it without a degree. You can do it from a community school or an Ivy League school. Like, I just want you to, I'm trying to take some pressure off. That what Mom and I want to do, we want to help you discover your purpose and then help you live out that purpose, because at the end of the day, that is what matters the most. You can do that as a teacher or as a veterinarian or as a missionary or as a plumber. Like, it don't matter to me what you, I just want you to live out the purpose of God. And so then I told them this, and this, I thought you could use this today. I said, girls, let me just boil it down. Living the purpose of God just means this. I'm going to go where God tells me to go. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And I'm going to say what God tells me to say. I said, girls, if you'll do that in any industry, in any, just go where he tells you to go and do what he tells you to do and say what he tells you to say. There's a story in Acts chapter 8 about a guy named Philip. And he really illustrates this. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 says, an angel of the Lord comes to Philip and says to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. The word of the Lord comes to Philip and says, go south down this road, right, from Jerusalem to Gaza. Philip had a decision to make in that moment. Am I going to go where God tells me to go? And just notice that God didn't give Philip very much instruction. And I have found this to be true in my life as well. Wouldn't it be awesome if God would email you a 25-year plan day by day, right? So that on the days when it doesn't make sense, you could skip a few days or weeks or months or years and go, oh, I see why he wants me here now, because this is going to happen in 3.5 years, right? Have you ever had those moments? I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if God would just lay it out for you? So often, he gives you one step, one instruction. The angel comes to Philip and says, go south down this road, right? I mean, do you have those moments in your life, right? Go here. Why? Just go there. Why? Just go there, right? It's kind of like our kids, you know? Your kids ever do that to you? Why? Because I said so. Why? Because I'm the dad. Why? Because I'm going to spank you if you don't do it, right? I'm glad God is more patient than we are sometimes as parents, right? God said to Philip, go down this road. And he had a decision to make. Am I going to go where God tells me to go? We have to ask ourselves today, am I where God wants me or am I where I want to be? Am I following God's will or am I following my will? Living in purpose says, I'm going to go where God wants me to go. Verse 27, so just notice the language here. I'll come back to it. It says, so he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was now returning. He's seated in his carriage or his chariot, and he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. I love the language here because it just seems so kind of nonchalant, right? The angel said, go south down the road. So he started down the road, and I'll just add this, and it just so happened that he met the Ethiopian eunuch. Can I tell you something about living on purpose? When you live on purpose, things seem to just happen. It just seems to happen that you meet someone. It just seems to happen that this conversation took place. It just seems to happen that you run into an old friend who's in time. I mean, I'm just telling you, when you're living on purpose, you don't see it happening, but all of a sudden, you realize what God is up to. Because when you live on purpose, you begin to notice opportunities. By the way, the current climate of our world is going to create lots of opportunities, but you'll miss them if you're just drifting. If you're just showing up and checking the box and clocking in, if you're just floating through life, you are going to miss opportunities. Living on purpose reveals to you the opportunities of God. Verse 29 says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, so he's walking down this road. He gets his next set of instructions. The Holy Spirit says to him, go over and walk beside the carriage, right? So just notice, because I think it's interesting, he received a word from the Lord to start down the road. And then as he's going down the road, the Holy Spirit comes to him and gives him the next set of instructions, which is to go to the carriage. Remember that a disciple is sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit. I cannot emphasize to you how important it is that disciples are sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit. If he was not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he would have been going down the right road, but he still would have missed the opportunity. It's that little voice in our hearts that says, stop. It's the little voice that says, turn right. It's the little voice that says, talk to this person. It's the little voice that says, give to this person. It's the little voice that you begin to tap in to that supernatural part of following God. I'm just telling you, a spirit-filled life is a purposeful life. When you're full of the Spirit, you turn natural things into supernatural things. You're going along, and the Holy Spirit's like, here, and go here, and go here, and go. And remember, following the Lord, a purposeful life is just go where he tells me to go, do what he tells me to do, say what he tells me to say. So I'm helping you because it can be frustrating to only know the next step. A purposeful life is often one step at a time. Go south down this road. Go stand by this carriage. And as you'll see next, talk to this man. Verse 30, Philip ran over, heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? Guys, don't overcomplicate living a purposeful life, okay? Philip walked up, heard a man reading the prophet Isaiah. He asks a simple question. Do you understand what you're reading? You could ask that question, right? I mean, it's simple. He didn't have to dive into this deep theological, you know, he didn't have to parse Greek verbs, right? He didn't have to explain revelations, right? He just says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man responds back to him, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he asked Philip to come into the carriage and sit with him. You think that's a God opportunity, right? Come on, would you come into my office for a minute? I have a question to ask you. God opportunity, right? Would you go to coffee with me? I have something that I need to talk to you about. God opportunity. You see what I'm saying? This is how we live a purposeful life. We're just going where he tells us to go. We're saying what he tells us to say. We're doing what he says. We're listening to the Holy Spirit. He's creating opportunity. This is a purposeful life. It says the passage that he's reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch says to Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told the good news about Jesus. Guys, the good news is so good. That's why we call it good news. The good news is so simple. It's so easy. And he shares the good news. And I'm going to prove to you that the good news impacted him and that he surrendered his heart to Christ, because it says this next. As they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? So we know he was saved because baptism is an outward sign of what happens inside our hearts. So he says, look, there's some water. Why don't you baptize me? And so he orders the carriage to stop. They go down to the water and Philip baptizes him. We're talking about living a life on purpose. I want you to see in this story how we understand that when we live a life on purpose, it leads to lives being changed. That's the point. It's not about climbing the corporate ladder or banking money in the 401k. It's not about the title. It's not about the promotion. It's not about the house or the cars or the stuff. When we live a life on purpose, it leads to lives being changed. Do you believe that? When you're living a purposeful life, you will have opportunities to share the good news and lives will be changed. Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, y'all, this is crazy. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. Guys, sometimes we read scriptures and we just kind of just go by it. Like that's normal. Did y'all just see this? Philip baptizes the Ethiopian as he's coming out of the water. I don't know what this means exactly, but it says the Spirit of God snatched him away, Philip, and all of a sudden he found himself in another city. Y'all, this is weird. Can you imagine? Sometimes we do baptisms. Usually we'll bring the tank right here, right? And I get y'all pumped up. I'm like, guys, when they come up, we're going to cheer like it's the Super Bowl, because it's the Super Bowl, right? Can you imagine if one of these Sundays, I'm like, and now I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and he's coming out or she's coming out and you're cheering, and all of a sudden, whoosh, I'm just gone. Can you imagine? And I find myself, where would I want to be? I find myself in Alaska, right? Sharing the gospel. Here's what I want you to see, okay? That's never happened to me. Maybe it will one day. I mean, Lord, if you want to send me to Alaska, I'd be all right. Here's what I want you to see. Following Jesus is the furthest thing from boring. It is an adventure. I mean, Philip, he's going down the road. He's talking to the Ethiopian, he's baptizing the Ethiopian, and then whoosh, off to the next adventure. I'm telling y'all, following Jesus is so much fun. Living a life of purpose is so much fun. Here's what happens. Living a life on purpose turns natural things into supernatural things. I got to tell you a story, and then we're going to pray. I had to do a natural thing this week. I had to do a very ho-hum, boring, just check the box, get it done kind of a thing. I had to go get an emissions test on my car. Pretty exciting, right? Every couple years, you get the notice. And, so I put it off and I was running out of time. I was like, I got to get the emissions test. So I left one day and I went to get the emissions test. And I pull in to the mechanic shop. And by the way, I have, this is a habit I picked up from my dad. I go to the same, I try to go to some of the same places so that I have relationships with people. So I go to this little oil change place because I've gone there for years and I know people there, right? And so I pull in there and there's a guy there that he used to come to our church and he doesn't anymore, but he still loves us. And I pull in and the shop's empty. And that never happens, right? Coronavirus, I don't know. I pull in, the shop's empty. There's like four or five mechanics. And the guy goes, "Hey, pastor." I'm like, "Hey." And he goes, "Guys, that's my pastor." And I'm thinking, "I'm glad it's your pastor, but you haven't been in church in a long time." And he begins, I mean, he is raving about you. He's raving about Harvest. He said, "Guys, this is the best church. They are so generous. They're always doing stuff for our city. These guys doing amazing. You should all go to this church." And I'm like, "Why don't you come?" Whatever, right? And so they don't want you to get out of the car because, insurance purposes or whatever. But I just couldn't contain myself, right? I'm so excited. So I opened my door. I didn't get out, but I was like leaning out, and I'm talking to them and they're running around and they're plugging in, they're doing their thing, and I'm just talking to them. And I'm like, "Y'all," "let me tell you," this is what I told them, "You're going to be a little jealous." I said, "I'm going to tell you a secret about our Easter service, but our people don't even know it. So you better not come and tell our people and ruin this." And can I trust you? Like, "Yeah, we can trust you." I don't know if I can trust them, but I told them the secret. I was like, "Y'all, listen, you need to come. I'm just telling you, you should come to our church. It'll change your life. You need to come." And I'm just sharing with them. And then there was one guy, he was right by my door at the computer. He was entering stuff and asking me questions. But between it, he began to tell me his story. He's like, I used to be one of the largest meth dealers in the city of Albuquerque. He said, I sold meth for 22 years. And he goes, "I still have my teeth." I'm like, "That's a miracle, man." I said, "Well, let me tell you some of my story." I still told him my testimony. And we're in the middle of a mechanic shop. And a holy thing happened. I mean, we're in the middle of this. It's natural, right? It's Philip going down the south road to a carriage, right? And it just so happened that he met the Ethiopian. I just so happened to meet my friend Chris, right? Can I just tell you something? It didn't just happen. This is what happens when you live a purposeful life, is you find people who are in need of a Savior, who are in need of hope, who are in need of peace, who are in need of joy, who are in need, I'm just telling you, in the middle of Starbucks or Chick-fil-A or the mall or the park or your office or your living room, things will happen when you're living a life on purpose. So here's what I'm going to ask you today is, I think a whole bunch of you, you're working really hard like I did in my triathlon. I mean, you are just working, 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 working. You're putting a lot of hours in. You're putting a lot of effort in. You're putting a lot of energy in. You are working. You are working. You're taking care of your family. You're being honorable. You're doing a lot of good stuff. But here's what I'm asking you today. I'm asking you to come up for air. That's what we're going to do in just a minute. We're going to pray. And I'm going to ask you, this is what I would do in triathlons. You're swimming, you're swimming, you're swimming, you're swimming. And you come up for air and you look for the buoy. And you're swimming, and you're swimming. Some of you have lost sight of the buoy. I'm not mad at you. God's not mad at you. Drift happens naturally and quickly. It's just, it's so subtle, guys. It's just, you just barely get off. And so I'm asking you today, just come up for air. Reorient your heart towards the buoy. Reorient your heart towards the purposes of God. Can I just tell you what the world needs right now is for you to live out the purpose of God for your life. That's what the world needs. This week, you will encounter people like Philip did. This week, you're going to encounter people in like the mechanics. This week, you're going to encounter people, and there is a purpose of God that is in your life that is unique. You'll have a language that is unique to you. You have a testimony that's unique to you. You have giftings and talents and abilities that are unique to you. And what the world needs is not for you to show up at your job, but to show up at your job with purpose. Not to just go out to eat, but to go out to eat with purpose. Not to just walk your dog, but to walk your dog with purpose. Are you following me? I'm asking you, live your life, life to the full, with purpose. Why don't you stand with me? And here's the moment. I'm asking you to come up for air, okay? In fact, some of you need this on a couple of levels. Some of you have just been so panicked and worried, and you need to come up with air and just be full today with the peace of God. Some of you today, you just need the peace to come into your heart. But I'm asking you, will you come up for air? Will you spiritually look for that buoy? What is your purpose? What is the calling of God on your life? And will you ask the Holy Spirit to help you to come into alignment with God's call for your life? How many of you will do that with me this morning? Show me your hands. You say, Pastor, I'll come up for air. I'm going to look for the buoy. Okay? And then how many of you say, whatever the Holy Spirit tells me, I'll make the adjustment. How many of you will do that? How many of you will do that? So I just tricked you because I asked you to commit before he tells you what to do. So now you can't get out of it, okay? Let's pray. Lord, right now, in a busy, chaos-filled, intense world, we pause. We come up for air right now. Peace of God, come right now. Wisdom of God, come right now. Word of the Lord, come right now into our hearts. Lord, we come up for air and we look spiritually for the buoy that shows us where we're going, that shows us the purpose of God for our lives, for our family, for our job. We look right now, and Holy Spirit, we ask you if there's in any way something where we've drifted. Lord, we combat drift right now with intentionality. We combat drift right now by asking you, Holy Spirit, will you reveal to us, Lord, where we've gotten lackadaisical. We've gotten lazy. We've lost focus. We've become distracted. We've gone with the crowd or with what's popular or with what's easy. Lord, we just ask you today, reorient our hearts towards your purposes. Reorient our hearts towards your calling. Lord, we said it earlier. We believe the lost are still lost. We believe we have a job to do that's greater than the job that we go to earn a paycheck. Lord, through that job, will you reveal to us the purposes? Lord, we just say today, we want to go where you tell us to go. We want to do what you tell us to do, and we want to say what you tell us to say. If you would right now, would you just lift your hands towards the Lord? And let's just say this. Say, Jesus, I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll do what you tell me to do. And I'll say what you tell me to say. And now, Lord, I send out my friends into this world, into our city, into their workplaces, into their neighborhoods. I send them out today in the authority and the confidence and the peace and the joy and the power that we find only in you. And Lord, I pray for those it just happened moments. Lord, this week, may you fill our lives with opportunities to share the good news. This week, may purpose-filled lives lead to other lives being changed. This week, Lord, may natural things turn supernatural. And Lord, we just say, we trust you. You're going to tell us this week to do things we're not going to fully understand in that moment, but we trust you. We'll take step one, and then we'll listen for step two. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Harvest, I love you so much. Our hospitality team will be at the doors if you have tithe and offering today. As you're leaving, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you his grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.